The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Well, how have you been going with your fatigue levels over the last little while? It's been a long time. For many, it feels like a very long time. And as the school term starts to come towards an end, with all of the tumult and change and schooling from home and then back to school, there's just been so much that's caused so many people to feel tired. Do you remember a few weeks ago I talked about fatigue? And I particularly talked about those who are feeling Zoom fatigue. That's a very real thing. A lot of people are saying, I'm over Zoom, over video conferencing. I just want to be back with people. When I was doing some research on Zoom fatigue, I was reading some information that said that if you don't need to see someone, you just need to talk to them, try not to use Zoom or other video conferencing technologies. Rather, pick up your phone. Pick up your phone and just talk. Not only that, they said that it's really good if you can just use your phone to also go for a walk at the same time. They've shown that when you can walk and talk, you actually think more creatively. It increases blood flow throughout your body, to your brain, so you're more creative. You are getting exercise. You think a bit more laterally. So it sounds like you're on a winner all round. So I decided I'd give this a go. The very next day, I had a number of people I had to ring, so I put a list down and said, okay, these are all the people I've got to ring today. I went for a walk, and I rang them person after person. It was just really good. And not only that, it was creative. I came up with this great creative idea. You see, I've got a horse that Kylie had given me for my birthday. And he hadn't been broken in, so my son has broken him in, and I've been riding him the last while. And that's going really well. But because we want to train him for endurance, it means you've got to ride lots of kilometres, which means riding on the sides of the roads. That's been going well, except when there's big trucks. He does not like big trucks. In fact, he gets really scared. And so I had thought during this time, well, my creative idea was, why don't I walk and talk on the phone and take my horse for a walk? So I put him on a lead rope. I mean, others walk their dog. So why couldn't I walk my horse? So I was out walking my horse on the side of the road. I was making phone calls. For me, I was getting exercise. I mean, this is the ultimate for a male, isn't it? Multitasking. And so there I was, everything's been going really, really well. Until one day when I'm walking down the road with my horse and this big truck, loud truck with a trailer behind it, goes roaring past and my horse gets really, really upset. Well, you see, if you're in the yards and you're working with a horse and it gets upset, you say something like, whoa, 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 settle, settle, it's all right. And you just calm him down. So here I am on the side of the road, the horse is upset, and so you just do what you do. You know, whoa, it's all right, settle, calm down. I forgot that I was talking to someone on the phone who didn't know I was walking a horse. And so we're mid-conversation, they say, whoa, it's all right, settle down. And they're going, context? what's happening to Andrew? Is this Zoom fatigue sort of affecting him in some way? And so once I got the horse settled, I then had to stop and say to this person, look, there's a bigger picture here. Let me just explain what's happening. You see, these words of, whoa, settle down, it's all right, that made sense if I was just talking to my horse. But you see, when there's a different audience, when there's someone else who's listening in who doesn't know context, what I'm saying is right out of context. And so today, we're going to look at Acts chapters 1 and 2 to try and get the context of what it was like for those early followers of Jesus, the early believers in Jesus Christ, as well as the context for us today, and to try and see and understand some of what's going on. Last week, I talked about priorities and the importance to reflect on your priorities. What are your priorities? And I ask you to consider your priorities in terms of time and emotional energy. I also ask you to consider about having space in your life to do the things that God wants you to do. So for both the early disciples and for us today, there's been a massive shift in the way that things are happening in our lives. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, our rhythm of life, our pace of life has been changing dramatically. It's just starting to wind up again a little bit more now. And that challenge has also given us the opportunity to stop and reflect on our priorities. To stop and reflect on, have we got time and space in our life for big priorities? Things that we believe God wants us to put in place now. Maybe we've already got them in place and that's great, but for some, this is a time to stop and think, if this is a priority, maybe I should look at understanding it more and putting it in place. So for the early disciples, they discovered that there were these priorities in their life. And what we see is that in Acts 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So what is it that caused them to put these priorities in their lives? Let's look at context. Just like earlier when I was saying, woo, settle down, it doesn't make sense unless we understand their context and we want to understand our own so we can apply it today. So back then, this is 2,000 years ago, there were these people who had come to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, and these were Jews who were living in Jerusalem, or they were Jews who had come to Jerusalem as pilgrims specifically to celebrate this Feast of Pentecost. So context is that these were all Jews, and they had heard what was happening when the Holy Spirit had fallen on the followers of Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, they had put their faith also in Jesus Christ. They had formed a new community. The center, the thing that held them together as that community, was their faith in Jesus Christ. This was the one new thing that suddenly brought them together as a new community. So in other words, they'd now understood the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They now knew what it meant to experience forgiveness. Forgiveness for the things they'd done wrong. And as they experienced this forgiveness, it gave them a whole new sense of hope in life, a whole new level of joy in life. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were no longer trying to live out religious rituals in their own strength, but rather there was this joy and hope and expectation that they would walk with Jesus and life would be much more natural for them in what they were doing. So the first priority that they had was the apostles' teaching. So let's take some time today to understand what that was and why it was so important. So first of all, who were the apostles? Well, the apostles initially were this group of 12 men who had spent the last 3 years walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, having meals with Jesus, living life with Jesus. They'd got to know him very well. And they had learnt from Jesus. So the key thing of this new faith community was their faith in Jesus Christ. So if they wanted to live a life according to the way of Jesus, who better to learn from than these 12 apostles who had spent the last 3 years with Jesus? One of those disciples of Jesus was called John. This is what John wrote in a letter called 1 John. It's in chapter 1. These are the first 3 verses. And I just want to highlight a few things. He wrote this, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. So he's talking here about, I've done life, everyday life with Jesus. A bit further on, he writes, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. So what John is saying here is, I've been an eyewitness. I have seen with my eyes, I have looked at with my eyes, I have touched with my hands. What I've seen and heard is what I'm now telling you. And then he uses this important word. He says, so that you may also have fellowship with us. In other words, he says, as a new community who wants to know Jesus, who wants to be with Jesus, then learn what it was like to live with Jesus. So what was it that these apostles were teaching these early followers of Jesus? Well, let's start with the Old Testament. There are some people who struggle to understand the importance of the Old Testament. They wonder why they should continue to read it. They see it as history or just this long, complicated book of laws. But there are many reasons why it's valuable for us to continue to discover more of the Old Testament. Because as we read it, we discover why God made us. We also discover the very negative effect of sin. But we also see that God had a plan to deal with sin so that we could be brought back into relationship with God once again. See, throughout the Old Testament, God was sending this story, reiterating this story, that he would send his Messiah. The Messiah would be the Son of God, who would come from heaven to earth to live among us, who would die having never done anything wrong. And when he died, he would break the power of sin. What that would do is that would restore, allow a way for us to be restored back into relationship with God the Father. And so what the apostles were doing is they were teaching these Jews who already knew the Old Testament scriptures very well, they were helping them to reposition their understanding of the Old Testament so that they would see the Messiah, they would see the life of Jesus already having been preempted or prophesied about throughout the Old Testament. How do we know that the apostles did this? Well, what they did was that they modelled the way they would teach on Jesus. They'd spent time with Jesus, and Jesus used Old Testament scriptures to prove that he was the Messiah. So let me give you an example. The day that Jesus rose from the dead, so we call this the resurrection, on that day, Jesus appeared to two travellers who were on the road to Emmaus. And what it says is he said to them, this is Jesus, said to these two travellers, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So when it says here that Jesus started with Moses, it's meaning that he was describing some of the information from the first five books of the Bible, which we say that Moses wrote. And then he explained the prophets, which are these people who spoke about the coming Messiah. So what Jesus was doing here is he was going through these Old Testament scriptures explaining or concerning himself. That's how he was using the Old Testament. That's why it's so relevant. And just as Jesus did it, so did his disciples. A couple of weeks ago was Pentecost, and this was a time where Peter stood up and he explained to the crowd that was listening that Jesus was the Messiah. He explained what was happening in terms of the Holy Spirit. And he did this using scriptures from the Old Testament, from the book of Joel and the book of Psalms. You see, this pattern of teaching using the Old Testament to explain what was written hundreds of years earlier, that was predicting or prophesying how Jesus would live his life and what he would do was a pattern that then continued to be used by the early apostles, the early disciples of Jesus. In fact, the apostle Paul continued to use this throughout his life. At the end of his life, Paul is in prison in Rome. And as he's there in Rome, he gathers together Jewish believers from the city of Rome. And this is what it says from Acts chapter 28, verse 23. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. You see, we consistently see this pattern that the importance of the Old Testament is that it points us to Jesus as the Son of God, as the Messiah, as the one who would come to destroy the negative effect that sin had on creation and on our lives, and to bring us back into relationship with God the Father. So it's really important that we read the scriptures of the Old Testament because they give us a bigger picture of God's love in creating us, his plan to restore us back into relationship and deal with sin. Now remember, this new community, the thing they had in common was their faith in Jesus Christ. So they wanted to learn what Jesus said and what Jesus did and how he lived. And we can summarize this as saying the words of Jesus, the works of Jesus, and the ways of Jesus. So for those who are Christians or those who are wanting to explore what the Christian faith is, these words, works, and ways of Jesus sit at the very center of our Christian faith. So what the apostles spoke about was in the end recorded, and it was written up in what has become the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so what they did in these books was that they have taught us the words of Jesus. What did Jesus say when he was alive on earth? What were his teachings? What were his predictions or prophecies about the future? Even what his words of rebuke were to those who tried to make it all about religion and rituals instead of about relationship with God. But then they went on to talk about the works of Jesus. These are the miracles that he performed. These are the stories of people who were healed. This was how Jesus calmed a storm. This is how Jesus took a couple of loaves of bread and five fish and fed 5,000 people. Amazing stories of the works of Jesus. And then they talked about the ways of Jesus, the way Jesus lived his life, the way Jesus developed a small community around about him, the way Jesus would have a pattern of wanting to talk with his Father in prayer, the way that Jesus accepted all people, the way that he forgave people, the way that he loved people. These are all parts of these words, works, and ways of Jesus that got recorded in these first four books of the New Testament. But then, even after his resurrection, that Jesus continued to teach because he came back to life and he was alive on earth for another 40 days before he went back to be in heaven. And during this time, he spoke about the importance of helping other people come to put their faith in Jesus, to make disciples. And so in Matthew 28, he said to them, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So in other words, to teach them to obey the words of Jesus. "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so in this way, Jesus was saying, go and tell others about who I am. But there's something else very important that he also taught them. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, after his suffering, he presented himself to them. In other words, he appeared to the disciples and to many others and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So he was speaking here about this big picture of the kingdom of God. So the apostles, for these early disciples, were teaching the word of God, the words of Jesus, the works of Jesus, and the ways of Jesus. Why? Because these early followers wanted to know Jesus. Because he is at the very center of their faith, and their faith was the center of the community. It's that that brought them together as this new community. If they want to live like Jesus, they had to know Jesus. For us today, if we want to live like Jesus did, if we want to speak words of life to others, if we want to love others like Jesus did, if we're going to pray for miracles like Jesus did, if we're going to be part of a God-centered community, which we call church, if we want to make disciples, if we want to talk about and release the kingdom of God, then we need to spend time in the Word of God. We need to spend time reading or listening to the Bible and make that a really high priority in our lives as well. Now, I'm not sure what your past experience or present experience of reading the Bible is like. Kylie and I really enjoy reading to our children, and we regularly read biographies of missionaries. We've just finished reading one of a missionary called Jacob de Chazza. He grew up in a devout Christian home, but he'd been really hurt by the words that someone had said to him at church, and as a result of that, in his teenage years, he rejected his faith, he walked away from it, he joined the army, and in fact then finished up being captured as a prisoner of war. This is in World War II. During his time in prison, he was given a Bible. He'd rejected it earlier, but now with not much else to read, he chose to read it. And what he found was as he read it, it came alive to him. He put his faith in Jesus Christ. Bible reading, which for him had become this very insignificant and boring thing that his father had done at the meal table, now became something that he was hungry for, something that he yearned for. Something that changed his life. It changed his attitudes. It changed his behavior. It changed his future. He discovered that the Old Testament was constantly pointing him to Jesus. And that he discovered that Jesus would transform his life if he would live it the way that the New Testament taught him. You see, when you discover the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, and discover how real it is, and that he died for you, scriptures suddenly take on a whole new meaning. They become very personal to you. They become alive. The Apostle Paul wrote to a young man called Timothy. He was a young man that he was mentoring. And this is what he wrote. In 2 Timothy, the second letter he wrote to Timothy in chapter 3, verse 16, he said, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." He's saying here scripture is the word of God. It's not this dry historical document. It contains the words that record the past, that tell us and speak into our lives about the present and our current situations, but it also tells us about the future, what will happen. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 puts it this way, "For the word of God is alive and active." When we put our faith completely in God and we ask him to speak to us through his word, it teaches us about God, about ourselves, about others. It rebukes us. In other words, it challenges us when we've done the wrong thing. It confronts us. It convicts us when we've done the wrong thing. It corrects us by showing us the right thing that we should do. It encourages us in many ways. You see, if we are open to allowing the Bible to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, then it says that we will be trained in righteousness. That is, to live the right way of life, to live according to the good things that God has in store for you. Now, you might be thinking, well, I've tried reading the Bible before, and I didn't find it enjoyable, I didn't find it easy. But what is it for those early disciples in Acts chapter 2 that made them devote themselves to the apostles' teaching? It's because they discovered that Jesus is the Son of God. They'd put their faith in him, and they'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. So, you see, if you're trying to just learn from the Bible and trying to read it in your own strength as a daily ritual, that as out of a religious mindset or religious way of life, it is hard. It's hard work because you're trying to do it out of your own self. But when you invite the Holy Spirit to be the one who will speak to you through the Scriptures, who will minister to you, guide you through the Scriptures, suddenly it brings the Word of life, the Word of God, to life. It is alive. It's active in your life. It starts to change everything. And the amazing thing today is that there's some incredible resources that are available for us. Some people find that they learn better by listening instead of by reading. And so there's some brilliant audio Bible resources. There's some great text resources as well. Here's just a few that I find really helpful. The Bible Project is one. If you just Google Bible Project, it will take you to a site which, pardon me, will have short clips explaining all of the overviews for every book of the Bible through short video clips, explaining it, helping you to understand its context and what it means for you today. You can look at Bible Gateway. Again, just Google Bible Gateway. It's got lots of reading plans. You can either just download the reading plans and then use your text Bible, your paper-based Bible, or you can read them online. YouVersion, a free Bible available. Again, just Google YouVersion. And it's got heaps of resources. The beauty of all of these is that they also have audio Bibles. You can just listen to the readings instead of reading them if you prefer. Olive Tree is the one that I use. I really like this one. It has a number of free resources, some you have to pay for. But again, I use one where I read through the whole Bible in a year, using sections from the Old Testament and New Testament every single day. Not all of them need you to read through the Bible in a year. You can choose to just read some for a short season, for leading up to Christmas or to Easter, or for a particular challenging season in your life. There's a whole range of options. Some you can read through the Bible in 3 years. In whatever way, I encourage you to take time and put the priority of reading the Word of God, of listening to the Word of God, into your lives. Some of my discoveries is that the more I read the Bible, the more I actually enjoy it. The more I make it a priority, the easier it is that it becomes to actually want to read it. The more I read it, the more I actually want to be like Jesus. The more I see Jesus throughout the whole of Scripture. And so, as we wrap up for today, as we think about priorities, if you have already established Bible reading as a high priority, that's awesome. If it's something that you've been struggling with, then can I encourage you? Invite the Holy Spirit to come and help you. So let's pray now in that way. Holy Spirit, I want to know Jesus more. I want to live the life that God wants me to live. I want to be lived, trained in righteousness. So Holy Spirit, would you please come? And please show me what you want me to read or listen to from the Bible. And Holy Spirit, would you bring it to life? Would you make it alive and active in my life so that I can understand what you're saying and what you want me to do about it? And so I thank you in anticipation for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so as we've reflected on this service today, as we continue to look at these priorities, take some time and ask, what did God say to me today? It might be a word of encouragement. Well done. You've established this pattern in your life. It might be a word of, hey, I'd love you to read this part of Scripture. Or I'd love you to read some part of the Bible. Take a moment and just reflect. And then ask yourself, what will I do with what I've just heard? Will I go to some of those sites and check them out? Will I open my Bible and choose to read? Will I choose a time or a place where I will regularly read the Bible? Will I invite the Holy Spirit to come and bring God's word to life? Reflect on what you will do with what you've heard. Father God, we pray that you would take us, your people, that you would fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage where encouragement is needed, convict where conviction is needed, support where support is needed, to find a time and place to read your word and to let it speak into our lives in a way, Lord, that brings us closer to you and brings transformation into our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.